Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. So, how's it going?
Bye, Mr. Sokas.
2 days?
Even things.
48 hours?
Jeez, and last time it's done this.
Time is a funny thing, isn't it? You have chronological time, but you also have psychological time.
Laiks ir interesanta lieta ir. Chronologiskais laiks un ir arī psiholoģiskais laiks.
So if your sitting is going well, the time can seem goes like a snap finishing.
Ja jums labi veicās sēdēšanā, laiks var paskriet kā nebijis.
But if it's not going well, it can seem like eternity of hell.
Ja jums īsti neveicās sēdēšanā, tad laiks var vilkties kā mūžība vēlēs.
You look at your clock, it's the same time.
Katru reizi, kad jūs paraugāties, pulksteni rāda vienu un to pašu laiku.
So, the interesting thing is that again, I keep coming back to the fact that awareness itself doesn't have that sense of psychological time. It just knows, there's a feeling of, oh, this is taking a long time. Or it knows the feeling, oh, this is great, this is easy. But the knowing itself is not a function of time in the same way.
Un šai apziņai nav tāds psiholoģiskais laiks. Tā tikai uztver faktu, ka mums labi sokās un laiks paiet ātri, vai ir patīkama sajūta, vai arī uztver, ka mēs jūtamies kā mokās.
I remember one talk that Ajahn Sumedho gave where he said that in his first year of meditation, he had this feeling of, I can't do this for another second. And then he'd wait. Oh, there's another second.
Es atceros vienu runu, ko sniedza Ajahn Sumedho. Un tajā viņš stāstīja, ka pirmajā meditācijas gadā viņam bija tā sajūta, ka es nespēju nosēdēt ilgāk vairs pat vienu sekundi. Un tad pagāja viena sekunde, un viņš saprata, ka viņš joprojām vēl sēž.
So to actually like be aware of like in say meditation, let's say you start sitting and already after 5 minutes it's hopeless. You know, you feel, oh, my knees hurt, I'm never going to get through this sitting. And to actually make conscious, oh, this is a feeling of hopeless.
Un mēs varam pamanīt, kā meditācijas laikā, teiksim, pēc 5 minūtēm mūs sāk pārņemt sāpes, mūsu dzejgala sāp, un mēs jūtamies bezcerīgi, un mēs varam arī pamanīt, kā tas ir justies bezpalīdzīgam.
To really be like fully conscious of that feeling without creating a whole sense of self around it. Just the feeling. Just like you listen to sound, and you begin to listen to like an inner listening to these inner movements and inner perceptions.
Mēs varam apzināties šīs iekšējās kustības un iekšējās sajūtas un gluži tāpat kā kādu skaņu, kā mēs sadzirdām. Līdzīgi kā ir kaut kāda ārēja skaņa, tā šīs mūsu sajūtas ir tāda iekšēja skaņa.
See, like you wake up in the morning, say, maybe and there's, you have a lot of problems at work or in the family, and a lot of very real, you know, complex situations that you're faced with, and you wake up in the morning and the feeling is, oh no, another day. Oh no, I don't want to go. Now, if you're not aware of that, and you grasp it, then you create the sense of like hopelessness or despair. But if you can be aware of that very mood, oh, this is a mood of, oh no, this is going to be terrible, the mood quite often ends and you're into the next thing and the next thing. So you don't have to get You don't get attached to it. Was that too long? We'll see.
Okay, yeah. Ja mums dzīvē iet grūti vai darbā iet grūti, tad mēs varam pamosties ar to domu, ka ak, nē, es vienkārši negribu celties, ak, visu šo piedzīvot. Un ja mēs neapzināmies to, tad mēs varam pieķerties šim stāvoklim un ap to radīt veselu notikumu drāmu, bet ja mēs spējam pieceļoties pamanīt, kāds ir mūsu psiholoģiskais stāvoklis, pamanīt šo savu negribēšanu, tad to apzinoties, mēs neesam tā sasaistīti ar to, tas par mums nevalda, mēs varam doties pie nākošās lietas, kā pie nākošās un tā tālāk.
So there's a kind of idea of inner listening or inner vigilance in the practice of meditation.
Un tādējādī meditācijas praksē ir šī iekšējās ieklausīšanās ideja.
So today we were trying some heart practices and like full body awareness, which I was suggesting you try to cultivate.
Šodien mēs izmēģinājām sirds prakses un pilnu ķermeņa apzināšanos, ko es ieteicu.
And the Buddha's path, the Buddha offered a path, a method for realizing peace, realizing the end of suffering. Part of the methodology and part of the path was right effort. Is right effort.
Un Buddha piedāvāja ceļu un metodes, kā pielikt punktu ciešanām. Un viena no sastāvdaļām šajā ceļā ir pareizas pūles vai pareizas piepūles.
And one of the simplest ways to contemplate right effort is the effort to abandon the unwholesome and unskillful and the effort to cultivate the wholesome and skillful.
Un viens no vienkāršākajiem veidiem, kā paskaidrot, ko nozīmē šī pareizā piepūle, ir atmest visu negatīvo un nederīgo un praktizēt visu, kas ir derīgs un vērtīgs.
Atmest. That means that's for letting go, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Words are interesting, aren't they? You know, what I am saying to you, even if you understand English, might not be what I mean. Right? It's just language. Language is that way. You always have to reflect and you know get the teaching from different angles and read it in different ways. Mm. But abandoning is a difficult word. Like a few words: letting go, not grasping, non-attachment, abandoning, letting be.
Un vārdi ir interesanta lieta, kaut arī mēs varam saprast, ko es saku angliski. Tas neobligāti nozīmē, ka tas, ko jūs saprotat, ir tas, ko es gribu pateikt. Un tāpēc mums ir jāmēģina saprast to no dažādiem aspektiem, no dažādiem skatu punktiem. Un lai ilustrētu, ko nozīmē šī atmešana, šis vārds, mēs varam to pateikt arī kā ļaušanu būt, atmest, nepieķerties un tam līdzīgi.
So, say, like, let's say, for example, I'm building another monastery. This is my fifth. And at 66, it's not a good idea.
Es šobrīd ceļu savu piekto klosteru, un tā kā esmu 66 gadus vecs, tā nav pat labākā ideja.
Sometimes I wake up in the morning, and I think, you idiot.
Reizēm es pieceļos no rīta un domāju, ak, tu idiot.
Because 10 years ago I said, never again.
Pirms 10 gadiem es teicu, vairs nekad.
But I mean, I do enjoy what I do, but sometimes in the morning I don't enjoy what I do.
Kopumā man patīk tas, ko es daru, bet reizēm no rīta pieceļoties man tas tomēr nepatīk.
Now, if I'm not fully conscious of that mood, and I let my mind indulge in that mood, then I can go to breakfast and be a real creep. You know what a creep is? It's not a nice guy.
Reizēm, ja es neapzinos pilnīgi šo savu prātu noskaņojumu, tad es varu turpināt to attīstīt vēl brokastu laikā, un tad es esmu pavisam nepatīkams, nejauks tipiņš.
That's it. But if I really awaken, and I feel that mood, and I notice the thoughts going to that mood, I say, no, I'm not going to be reborn there.
Bet ja esmu pilnīgi apzināts un pilnīgi apzināts šo savu prāta stāvokli, tad es varu skaidru un apzinātu pateikt, nē, es nevēlos atkal piedzīvot šo prāta stāvokli.
I can make choices. I can choose to say, yeah, yeah, you're a bit tired, but may you be free from suffering. Have a coffee.
Es varu pieņemt apzinātus lēmumus un pateikt sev, jā, labi, tu esi noguris, bet esi brīvs un izbaudi kafijas tasīt.
And then this is the idea of karma, is that karma is intention, and that we as human beings, we can make choices. We're not just victims of circumstance and conditioning, that we, if we're awake, we can see this direction is skillful, but this other direction is unskillful. I'll try to choose the skillful. So we can develop, we can train.
Un šeit vietā ir pieminēt karmas iedzienu, kas nozīmē, ka mēs spējam apzināt, pieņemt savus lēmumus un virzīties tajā virzienā, kurā mēs gribam. Mēs neesam likteņu upuri, mēs varam skaidri pieņemt lēmumus, dodoties tajā virzienā, kādā mēs gribam.
And part of the capacity to make good choices depends on a certain amount of space in the mind, a certain amount of clarity and presence in the mind.
Un lai mēs spētu pieņemt labus lēmumus, zināmā mērā ir nepieciešama brīva telpa un plašums mūsu prātā.
And so meditation and a regular practice of meditation gives you that kind of spaciousness in mind where you're much more aware of the kind of decisions and choices you're making in your daily life.
Un meditācija un regulāra meditācijas praksa ir tas, kas palīdz mūsu prātā radīt šo brīvo, plašo telpu, kas palīdz mums prasmīgāk attiekties pret lietām dzīvē.
So some meditations are kind of just like calming the mind, like meditations on the breath.
Dažas meditācijas ir mērķētas tīri uz prāta nomierināšanu, piemēram, elpas vērošanu.
Some meditations are methods of creating perceptions which are very the Buddha would say very skillful on the path.
Dažas meditācijas ir vērstas, lai radītu tādus uztvers veidus, ko Buddha saukt par prasmīgiem un ļoti noderīgiem ceļā.
So let's say someone is very very greedy and very acquisitive and very lustful, and they are kind of caught by that. The Buddha might recommend, well, why don't you contemplate death? What if you died tomorrow? What would the benefit of all that be?
Un ja kāds ir ļoti alkatīgs un aizrāvies ar dažādām baudām, tad Buddha ieteikt šādam cilvēkam pārdomāt nāvi un kas varētu notikt ar viņu rīt.
But if someone was depressed and you said to them, well, why don't you contemplate death? They might commit suicide. So that wouldn't be skillful.
Bet ja kāds ir nomāktības vai depresijas periodā un mēs viņam ieteiktu pārdomāt par nāvi, tad viņš varētu tikpat labi izdarīt arī pašnāvību.
So it's a matter of wisdom and what is appropriate, what kind of meditation is appropriate for you, you know, where you're at now. What and the suggestions that teachers make are simply suggestions, and there's a whole variety of suggestions, but what's appropriate to your heart and your mind, this you have to discover.
Un tāpēc ir nepieciešama gudrība, lai saprastu, kas ir konkrētajā brīdī nepieciešams mūsu prātam un mūsu sirdī, un tas, ko skolotāji mums piedāvā, ir tikai ieteikumi, un mums pašiem ir jāsaprot, kas no tā, kurām brīdī mums dar.
One of the problems we have, I'm sure you have it in Latvia, same problems in North America, is attachment to idealism.
Viena no problēmām, kas pastāv, un es domāju, tā ir ne tik Amerikā, bet arī šeit Latvijā, ir pieķeršanās idealismam.
So you have a kind of idea of what your mind should be like. You have I have an idea when I began as a monk. I had an idea of what the perfect monk was like. It was like Ajahn Chah, right? And now I couldn't be like Ajahn Chah. No way. And I still can't be like Ajahn Chah. But if I hold to that ideal, I should always be compassionate, I should always be nice, I should always be grateful, da 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 da. That's the ideal. But then the reality is, well, actually, sometimes I'm not grateful. Sometimes I'm really just not happy. So what do? I have the ideal, should be, and then I have the reality. How do I deal with that?
Un mums varbūt kaut kāds ideālais priekšstats par to, kādu mēs gribētu sev redzēt. Un, piemēram, manā gadījumā, kad es kļuvu par mūku, man bija savs ideālais priekšstats, kādam ir jābūt ideālam mūkam. Mans ideāls tajā laikā bija Ajahn Chah, un vai šobrīd es esmu kā Ajahn Chah? Nebūtu, nē, joprojām nē. Reizē mēs varam būt nelaimīgs, es varbūt nelaimīgs, bet nevajag sevi par to šaustīt.
He got my next line before I said it.
It happens sometimes.
Very good. This is quite fun, isn't it? We say you stole my line.
Es nozagu nākošu rindiņu, ko skolotājs.
So what idealism, attachment, like ideals are fine, but attachment to idealism leads to self-hatred.
Ar idejām viss ir kārtībā, bet pieķeršanās šīm idejām noved pie sevas ienīšanas.
So to have a goal to be, you know, to be a compassionate person, to be sensitive and to try to communicate in ways which are helpful and so on. These are very, very good things. But to have an ideal that I have to be like that and then always compare myself to that ideal is a kind of inner tyranny. It's very cruel. And always just, oh, Viradhammo, you did it wrong. That's not mindful. That's just hatred, isn't it?
Un ja mums ir mērķis būt līdzjūtīgiem, iejūtīgiem, mīlošiem, laipniem un tam līdzīgi, ar to viss ir kārtībā. Bet ja mēs nepārtraukt salīdzinām sevi ar šo ideālu un sevi kritizējam par to, ka šobrīd tad akal un akal mēs neatdostam šim ideālam, tad tā ir iekšējā tirānija.
So there's a difference between training with the material you have, with the way things are, and moving the heart to a space of compassion. There's a difference between that and just making this constant self-criticism, self-disparagement all the time. That's not skillful because it doesn't really work. It's a kind of inner cruelty.
Un ir atšķirības starp to, vai mēs strādājam ar to iekšējo materiālu, kas mums šobrīd piemīt, un virzāmies tajā virzienā, kuru mēs vēlamies sasniegt, vai arī mēs nepārtraukti sevi salīdzinam un kritizējam, ka mēs joprojām neatbilstam šim ideālam un sev par to visu laiku šaustam un esam nežēlīgi pret sevi tādā veidā.
Because if you think about it, you don't like, you get up in the morning, you don't make intentions to get angry or get upset. You don't wake up in the morning and think, okay, at 4 o'clock this afternoon I'll get angry. You don't do that, do you? You just get angry. It just happens.
Un ja mēs tā padomājam, tad mēs nemostamies ar skaidru mērķi šodien būt dusmīgiem. Mēs neplānojam, ka šodien 4:00 vakarā es padusmošos. Tas tā vienkārši gadās un notiek.
So anger is natural, fear is natural, all these things are part of nature. It's the attachment to it. Say like the difference between anger and hatred. Anger is an uprising in consciousness, which is very, very biological. But hatred is something. I take the anger and then I begin to think hateful thoughts. Now that I can work with.
Un bailes un dusmas ir labīgs process, tas parādās. Bet mēs varam, teiksim, saprast arī atšķirības starp dusmām un naidu. Tas naids ir kaut kas, kas atšķirās no dusmām.
Or like fear, I used to get panic attacks. And I, you know, I didn't like wake up, oh, I'll have a panic attack tonight. It's going to be nice, you know. No, I don't want a panic attack. But it's biological. Somehow in my condition it would come up into my mind. So what could I do? First of all, I say, oh, this is what a panic attack feels like. I have to begin with mindfulness.
Un vai cits gadījums, es varu ciest no panikas laiknēm. Un tāpat mēs arī nabiski negribam piecelties naktī un panikas laika, cik jau, tas vienkārši notiek. Un tajā brīdī vienkārši ir jābūt apzinātam, jāapzinās, kas notiek, un jāizjūt, ko nozīmē būt panikā.
So, first of all, if we accept the way things are, right, and then we begin to cultivate that which is wholesome and that which is skillful, that we can do. But if we don't accept the way things are, and we just react from idealism, it'll never work. Because it's not based on wisdom, it's just based on some kind of attached ideal.
Un vispirms mums ir jāpieņem lietas tādas, kā tā šobrīd pastāv. Un ja mēs spējam pieņemt tās, tad mēs varam arī tālāk ar tām strādāt. Bet ja mēs pieķeramies ideālismam un visu laiku sevi salīdzinam ar nēsošu cerēto rezultātu, tad tur mēs īsti nekur tālāk nepavirsimies.
So I always talk a lot about my own karma around fear and shyness.
Un es bieži mēdzu runāt par savu karmu saistībā ar savām bailēm un kautrīgumu.
And I do it as just an example of what for me how the practice proceeds. So as a kid, I was afraid to answer telephones. I was that shy.
Un to es sniedzu kā piemēru tam, lai parādītu, kā attīstījās mana praksa. Un bērnībā es biju tik kautrīgs, ka man pat negribējās pacelt telefonu.
So then I got myself into a monastery, and then they sent me to England, and all of a sudden I found Ajahn Sumedho said, "Vira Dhammo, you give a Dhamma talk."
Un tad es nokļuvu klosterī, man aizsūtīju uz Angliju, un tad Ajahn Sumedho man teica, "Klau, tev vajadzētu sniegt Dhammas mācību."
I said, "No way."
Un es teicu, "Nu, nekādi."
"I'm too junior."
Es esmu vēl pārāk zaļš.
"You can't do this to me."
Jūs nevarat to nodarīt man.
But I realized, well, wait a minute, why do you want to run away from this? You've got to face it, you've got to look at this. Why don't you want to get up in front of people and give a Dhamma talk?
Bet tad es sev pieķēru pie šīs domas un sapratu, ka man ir jāizpēta, kas ir tas, kas liek man bēgt no šīs situācijas un kāpēc es negribu stāties cilvēkiem priekšā un sniegt Dhammas runu.
So then I decided to use the very situation of giving Dhamma talks to look at fear, so it became a teacher for me.
Un tad es izlēmu šo pašu situāciju, Dhammas mācību sniegšanu, izvēlēties kā savu skolotāju.
So I first of all, like, Ajahn Sumedho said, "Okay, you give the talk on this retreat or something." And first of all, I would just panic and plan the talk. I would plan everything out so I have the perfect talk. And then as I would start to give the talk, my mind would go blank.
Un tad, kad Ajahn Sumedho bija man devis šo uzdevumu sniegt retrīta laikā Dhammas runu, vispirms es kritu panikā, tad sāku plānot, ko es teikšu, un tad, kad man jau bija jāsaka runa, tad mans prāts kļuva pilnībā tukšs, un es nezināju, ko lai saka.
And I realized that really I was just trying to run away from the fear. I didn't want to look at the fear. So then I decided, okay, I'll do it like Ajahn Chah said, no planning of talks, go in cold.
Un tad es sapratu, ka man vienkārši bija pārņēmušas bailes, un tad es izlēmu rīkoties pēc Ajahn Chah padomu, vienkārši neplānot runas un doties iekšā tāds, kāds es esmu.
So 3 days maybe before a talk, the anxiety would start.
Un tad 3 dienas pirms runas datumā sāk parādīties trauksme un nemiers.
And I'll say this, and then I'll say that, then I'll say this, then I'll say that. Shut up! It just went on. Then I realized, no, wait a minute, this is in the body too. Then I began to say, well, what does fear feel like here? What does fear feel like here? And I began to investigate the nature of fear, not as thinking, but as a visceral kind of experience. Then I began to actually be aware of fear as a condition.
Un tad es pamanīju, ka manā prātā nepārtraukti notiek šīs runas izmēģināšana un plānošana. Tad es teikšu to, tad es teikšu šito, tad es atkal teikšu to. Pastarpai pamanīju savu piezīmu aizveries, un tad atkal tas viss turpinājās. Un tad es sapratu, ka ir nepieciešams papētīt bailes daudz tuvāk, drīzāk tādā muguras smadzeņu līmenī, kā tās parādās ķermenī, un tad es spēju strādāt ar bailēm tiešāk.
So then I began to see what Ajahn Chah was talking about. Ajahn Chah would say, no, the mood of the mind, not just the thought, you know, but what's the underlying mood that conditions these thoughts?
Un tad es sāku saprast, ko Ajahn Chah bija domājis, sakot, pamani šīs domas noskaņojumu, proti nevis pašu domu prāta līmenī, bet kāds ir tās atspulgs ķermenī.
And then I found through body awareness, on one hand, I wasn't suppressing or repressing the anger, but neither was I indulging in it. I found a middle way that this energy of fear came because of karma, or some reason, came through the body. And if I was aware of it as a bodily sensation, it released through the body.
Un tad es pamanīju, ka, ja es spēju apzināties šo baiļu enerģiju, nedz to nospiest, nedz reaģēt tās iespaidā, tad šī enerģija vienkārši parādās, iziet cauri ķermeni un pamet to.
Now that sounds easy in words, but it took about 15 years.
Vārdos tas izklausās vienkārši, bet tas man aizņēma 15 gadus.
Now I can lead a retreat and I really don't feel any anxiety.
Tagad es varu manīt retrītu, neizjūtot nekādu nemieru vai trauksmi.
Where I feel anxiety is big funerals.
Tad, kad man trauksmi parādās, tas ir bērēs.
They really get me nervous.
Tad es kļūstu nervos.
So I get like 200 people, you know, the front rows all crying. And I think, oh, I have to do something. I have to do something here.
Ir piemēram 200 cilvēki, no kuriem visi priekšējā rinda raud, un tad man rodas sajūta, ka nu man kaut kas šeit ir jādara.
And then I know, no. Be with the fear. What does the fear feel like? What does the fear feel like? Go back to the body.
Un tad es sāku, nē, sajūti, kādas ir bailes atgriezies pie ķermeņa.
And if I just wait with the body, then the fear goes away and then I can speak to the audience with clarity.
Un ja es spēju pagaidīt, kamēr bailes pašas aiziet, tad es spēju skaidri runāt un komunicēt ar publiku.
So this is like a craft for me. I looked at my own conditioning, my own character. It was a very fearful, shy part of it. I mean, there's other parts of my character. I said, that's something that I need to understand and I need to cultivate a practice that helps me through this energy. And then cultivating and working and like a craft, getting better and better at it, until now I really understand that energy and I understand how to deal with it if it comes up.
Un to var salīdzināt ar tādu māku vai prasmu, ko es esmu attīstījis, ņemot vērā, ka viena man personības daļa bija šī kautrīgā, nedrošā, ar bailēm pārņemtā. Es esmu strādājis ar to un attīstīs šo prasmi tikt ar to galā kā tādu zināmu mākslu, un tas ir prasījis gadus, lai es spētu to tik tālu attīstīt.
So I've trained myself then to not create the conditions for more fear in the future.
Un es esmu sev iemācījis neradīt apstākļus, lai rastos vairāk bailes nākotnē.
So that's on a kind of, that's the idea of purification.
Un tā ir attīrīšanās ideja.
And I think we all have that. Maybe it's anger, or jealousy, or you know, all these different things where the ego kind of really gets kind of caught up, and we get we suffer a lot with these things.
Un droši vien mums ir zināmas tādas nepatīkamas lietas kā dusmas vai greizsirdība, kas mūsos parādās.
So to see that they're not bad, you know, they're not, there's nothing wrong with feeling jealous or angry or fearful, but you don't want them to rule your life. You want to somehow understand them and release that energy so it doesn't constantly preoccupy you.
Un man ir jāsaprot, ka tās pašas par sevi nav tik ļoti sliktas, bet mēs arī nevēlamies, lai tās noteikt un vadīt mūsu dzīvi.
And that's very personal. That's not like Buddhism or per se. Buddhism gives you the tools. It's very personal. So you have to be quite honest and courageous. And you have to investigate, not just judge yourself, but really, what is my mind like? What are the conditions? How do I suffer? How can I put an end to suffering? It's a very personal kind of inquiry. But it's not an inquiry which is just always selfish. It's understanding mind and how mind works, rather than just being self-consumed all the time.
Un tas nav kaut kādas abstraktas buddhisma idejas. Tas ir kaut kas, ar ko mums ir jādarbojas personīgi. Pašiem tas jāpieredz, jāsaprot, kā tas darbojas. Un tāpat arī mēs šo attīstam vairāk, ja mēs ar to darbojamies pieredzē un arvien vairāk.
You know, some of the monks I know, they don't feel fear in front of people. They're just kind of, they can't figure out what the problem is.
Daži no mūkiem, ko es pazīstu, neizjūt nekādas bāles publikas priekšā, un kad viņiem tiek stāstīts par šādu veidu problēmu, viņi nesaprot, kā kaut kas tāds var būt.
But so you can't really compare yourself. You know, you just have to be yourself, whatever you feel, and work with that.
Un tad nav nepieciešams sevi ar kaut ko salīdzināt. Jāstrādā ar sevi tām, kādi mēs esam.
So there's that kind of process where we're witnessing to things where we're really blocked or whatever, and we're learning how to let go of them. And the other part of the process is that we can cultivate the wholesome. So that first part I spoke about is abandoning the unwholesome. This is what I mean by that. Understanding it, working with it, and no longer reinforcing the causes for the unwholesome.
Un šī ir tā viena daļa, kad mēs pamanam tos blokus, kas mums traucē, un mācāmies, kā tos pārvarēt un kā tikt no tiem vaļā. Un otra daļa ir šī vērtīgās īpašības.
So then, like for myself, I've also spent a lot of time cultivating the heart and the practices of compassion and so on.
Un es, piemēram, esmu pavadījis ilgu laiku praktizējot sirds izjūtas attīstīšanu un līdzjūtības attīstīšanu.
And there's a difference between circumstantial compassion and compassion which you deliberately and intentionally develop.
Un ir atšķirība starp situatīvu līdzjūtību, kas parādās kādā konkrētā brīdī, vai arī līdzjūtību, ko jūs apzināti esat attīstījuši.
So I see someone who might fall and they're hurt. I naturally feel compassion to them, but to actually bring up heart practices when I don't really need to, when the situation doesn't call for it, and intentionally let the mind have more of that is a kind of practice we do.
Un es varu pamanīt, ka kāds pakrīt un sasitās, un tajā brīdī manī automātiski rondās līdzjūtība, bet es varu arī apzināti strādāt pie tādas līdzjūtības attīstīšanas, lai brīdī, kurā nekas neizsauc līdzjūtību, tā automātiski pastāvētu.
So when I can, I try to these kind of suggestions I made to you about developing the heart through using other people and so on. I've tried to really be quite conscious and deliberate and develop those some aspect of those every day in my meditation practice as a kind of beginning practice.
Un savā meditācijas praksē es apzināti izmantoju arī tos elementus, kurus es jums šodien stāstīju par tēliem, kurus mēs izmantojam, lai varētu rast sirdīšo siltumsajūtu un pakāpeniski ar vien to paplašināt. Un tā ir viena praksa daļa, ko es veicu katru dienu, kad man ir tāda izdevība.
So that's part of a craft. It's not like just believing in compassion that it's a good thing. It's actually manifesting compassion or kindness in your heart quite deliberately for spans of time so that that energy begins to be more dominant in consciousness rather than negative energies.
Un šī attīstīšana, šī sirds siltuma attīstīšana ir nepieciešama tam dēļ, lai tā kļūt arvien vairāk klātesošu un dominējošu iepretim negatīviem prāta stāvokļiem.
Say with my mom, I found it a fabulous practice of what we call the Brahma Viharas for 9 years, just constantly. It's really good.
Un man pieredze ar māti palīdzot viņai, faktiski bija lieliska Brahma Viharas praktizēšana vesela 9 gadu garumā.
My mom and I were really good friends. We had one disagreement in 9 years, which lasted 15 minutes.
Es un mana mamma bijām ļoti labi draugi, un mums bija šo 9 gadu laikā viena nesaprašanās, kas ilga 15 minūtes.
So she was a sweet lady that was easy to love.
Viņa bija jauka kundzīte, ko bija ļoti viegli un dabiski mīlēt.
So I would after about 4 years we started this monastery, and I'd been with her for 4 years, started the monastery, and part of the reason to start the monastery was so I could get some kind of respite and relief from taking care of mom.
Un tad 4 gadus kopš es biju sācis kopt savu māti, mēs sākām celt klosteri, un daļēji es to darīju arī tāpēc, lai varētu būt zināmu attālu no mātes aprūpes.
So Ajahn Kusala was running the monastery, and on the weekends I'd go on Saturday morning, I'd go to the monastery, stay until Sunday afternoon, and I'd come back and take care of mom.
Un Ajahn Kusala vadīja šo klosteru procesu, un tad es devos tur nedēļas nogalēs sestdienā un paliku tur līdz svētdienai, kad devos atpakaļ pie mātes.
And when I came back, I'd always go into a grocery store on the way, and I'd get the driver to buy me some cut flowers.
Un kad es devos atpakaļ pa ceļam, es palūdzu šoferim iegriezties veikaliņā, kur es varētu nopirkt grieztos ziedus.
And my mom loved flowers. So I'd bring back the bouquet of flowers, and I'd go into the kitchen. She'd be waiting for me, really happy to see me. I'd be happy to see her. I'd give her the flowers, and I'd watch her face just light up. And then I would take that feeling, and I'd really feel it. Oh, this is happiness.
Man māte man sagaidīja, un es viņai sniedzu ziedus, un tajā brīdī, kad viņa ieraudzīja šos ziedus, viņa seju uzplauka, un es sajūtu šo sajūtu un izjūtu, ka tā ir laime.
And then I'd take that for my evening meditation, I would take that memory, and I'd cultivate that feeling of joy in the heart.
Un tad es paņēmu šo sajūtu savai vakara meditācijai un attīstīju to kā prieku savā sirdī.
So I'd sit down, a mom would be asleep, so I didn't have to worry about her. I'd bring up the image of the flowers, her face, and I'd go, shh, in here, and I'd say, may you be well. It's a great feeling.
Un tad es apsēdos meditēt, man bija sienas jau aizgājis gulēt, un tad par viņu nebija jāuztraucās. Un tad es paņēmu šīs atmiņas, šo ziedu sniegšanas tēlu, radās šī siltuma sajūta sirdī, un man atliek tikai vēlēt, lai tev ir labi.
So the situation where I gave the flowers to my mom was that kind of circumstantial joy. But then I took that feeling and I enhanced it. I made it stronger through through actually deliberately doing that kind of practice.
Tad šī situācija, kurā radās prieks niedzot šos ziedus mātei, bija situatīva. Bet tad es paņēmu šīs atmiņas prieku un apzināti to attīstīju meditācijas laikā.
And this the empathy of the empathy of joy, let us say, is in the Pali we call it mudita. It's one of the four heart practices that we're encouraged. And sometimes people don't realize what that is. But when we connect with beauty, when we connect with someone else's success or joy, you really see it with children. When we connect with that, we connect with their joy. We're no longer selfish. You know, we're connected to that person through their goodness. And that's a very wholesome feeling, but it's not selfish feeling. And this is very much encouraged in the practices of the heart.
Un šī empātiskā prieka izjušana ir tas, ko Pālī valodā saukt par mudita, un tā ir viena no sirds praksēm. Un, ja mēs, teiksim, redzam, kā priecājas bērni un spējam empātiski izjustī priecāties līdz viņiem, tas ir šis piemērs, kā mēs varam attīstīt savu sirdi.
Now, so you take these two. So you have the wholesome, the sense of joy at someone else's goodness. And what I'm doing, I'm encouraging that in consciousness, aren't I? I'm encouraging that which is wholesome and strong. And the other, the tendencies towards fear and self-disparagement, they come up. They still have energy, but I'm not encouraging them. I say, I know you. You can go. You can stay, you can go, but I'm not encouraging them with thought. So what happens is the mind begins to have more and more a balance towards open-heartedness, towards calm, towards peace, because that's what's being encouraged in the mind. But the other isn't dismissed. It's not like you suppress it. You just know it. Now, I know you, okay. You can stay, fine, okay. Bye. You're gone? Okay, good. So sometimes you can't always do compassion. Because your mind is just caught up too much, right? You can't always do it. And you have to be honest about that.
Tātad mēs varam uzzināt, attīstīt to, kas ir pozitīvs, piemēram, šo tīro prieku sajūtu, priecāšanos par citu labestību. Mēs varam to apzināt paņemt un attīstīt sevī, tādējādi radot lielāku pārsvaru šim pozitīviem savā prātā. Un vienlaikus mēs redzam arī, ka parādās negatīvās lietas, bet tās mēs neatīstam un neiedrošinām. Kā rezultātā mēs pakāpeniski šādi līdzsvarojot savu prātu stāvokli nonākam pie lielākā miera un pie vairāk prieka.
So go back to idealism then. If I have the ideal that I should always be compassionate and that I should never be angry, when I get angry, and I do get angry, what happens is I hate myself for the anger. But if I say, no, I'm going to cultivate the wholesome, abandon the unwholesome, when anger comes up, I say, just be patient, this will change. Just be patient, this will change. And then as it changes and my heart has more space, then I can pick up those other practices. But I'm not saying I shouldn't feel angry, I should always feel compassion, because that's just another ego trip you put on yourself.
Un tad, griežoties pie ideālisma tēmas, mums var būt nolūks būt visu laiku līdzjūtīgiem, vai pēc iespējas līdzjūtīgiem, bet tā kā tas nav iespējams visu laiku šajā brīdī, tad parādās dusmas, un dusmas parādās neizbēgami. Mēs varam nenosodīt sev par šīm dusmām, mēs varam pieņemt ar pacietību šīs dusmas, gaidīt, kamēr tās pāriet, un tad turpināt atkal to, ko mēs vēlamies attīstīt.
Just one last kind of example of that kind of the fearful energy, karma. I had been in New Zealand about 8 years, and I thought I had worked through most of those fearful energies when I gave talks.
Tad atgriežoties vēl pie šīs baigpilnās enerģijas kārmas, es pavadīju Jaunzēlandē kādus 8 gadus, un tolaik jau man šita, ka es biju diezgan lielā mērā ticis no bailēm, kas radās sniedzot publiskas runas.
And I one year my father died and I went back to take care of him. He had cancer. And then I went to back to New Zealand and we had an ecumenical meeting where I had to give the Buddhist part. I only had to speak for 5 minutes. And just because I had been with my dad, the talk I gave was quite powerful and people were very grateful for that.
Un apmēram tajā laikā mans tēvs nomira no vēža izraisītas saslimšanas un kad es biju beidzis viņu aprūpēt, es atgriezos atpakaļ un man bija jāsniedz ekumeniskā runa kā budistu grupas pārstāvim. Un šīs nesenās tēva nāves iespējā, kaut arī tā mana runa bija tikai 5 minūtes, tā atstājas spēcīgi iespēja.
So they invited me, why don't you give the keynote address next year? You give the main talk. I said, okay.
Un tā rezultātā mani ielūdz kā galveno runātāju nākošajā gada sanāksmē.
So the next year, you picture this. This is the biggest cathedral in Auckland. 200-300 people, big stage, you know, peace meeting, it's a peace meeting, and I get a panic attack.
Un tad man jums rastos skaidrāks priekšstats, kā tas viss izskatījās. Tam bija lielākā Oklendas katedrāle, tur sapulcējās 200-300 cilvēku, un man bija jāstājas viņu visu priekšā tā bija tikšanās, kas bija par miera tēmu, un man tajā brīdī piemeklēja panikas laikme.
And all I wanted to do was go to the toilet.
Un viss, ko es gribēju darīt, bija doties uz toaleti.
It was awful. It was just so awful.
Bija vienkārši briesmīgi.
What are you going to do? So I get on the stage and I start talking. And you know, sometimes when you're trying to override fear, you sound angry. So I gave this talk, which sounded like I was angry. It was a peace meeting.
Pēc man, ko man atlika darīt, es vienkārši devos publikas priekšā, sāku runāt, un jūs varbūt esat pamanījuši, ka ja jūs vēlaties pārvarēt bailes, tad jūs izklausāties dusmīgs. Un tādējādi visi man runa izklausījās dusmu pilnu, kaut arī tā bija miera sanāksme.
So, you know, I finished the talk and I felt a complete idiot. Just terrible feeling. And then I was staying with a Tibetan monk called Lama something, very good friend. And he's Tibetan. And, you know, Asians are very, very kind of, they're very sensitive about criticism. But we're riding in the car back to his monastery. And he sort of says to me, you know, Buddhism's about peace.
Vienmēr sakot, tad es biju kopā ar kādu tibetiešu mūku un tibetiešu Āzijas iedzīvotāji principā ir ļoti iejūtīgi un maigi. Mēs braucām kopā ar viņu atpakaļ ceļā un viņš man piebrikstīja klausies. Nu, vispār budismas tā kā ir vairāk par mieru.
So. And then, you know, I got back to the monastery and then my habit was to hate myself.
Un tad
you idiot, you idiot, you idiot.
Atgriežos klosterī, un tad man parādījās ieradums sevi ļoti kritizēt un saukt visu laiku par idiotu.
And then I said, no, my intention was good. I'm not going to go there. So as my mind tried to go towards self-disparagement, I went back to the body.
Un tad es sev teicu, nē, mans nolūks bija labs, ar to viss bija kārtībā. Un tiklīdz es pamanīju, tās paškritiskās domas parādāmies, tad es vienkārši atgriezos pie sevis.
And then when you know when you have something quite powerful, you have strong memories. So all week as the memory came up, my mind wanted to say, you idiot. No, may I be free from suffering.
Un, ja mums ir kāds spēcīgs pārdzīvojums, tad mēs turpinām atkal un atkal atgriezties pie šīm atmiņām. Un tā visu nedēļu manī atkal un atkal parādījās šī doma aktu idiots, bet es teicu, nē, atgriežamies atpakaļ, es šo ceļu neturpināšu.
So training is like that. You know, you think, it's everything's okay, and then it falls apart. And you know, my practice is no good. Don't go there. Just say, this is the way it is now. Tā viņš ir.
Un mācību procesā tā notiek. Mums varētu šķist, ka viss notiek brīnišķīgi, un tad tas viss sabrauk mūsu acis priekšā. Tā ir mācība pati par sevi. Tā viņš ir.
So you just keep waking up. This is the way it is now. And then trying to make skillful choices, you know, how should I speak, how should I think, how should I act? Keep making the best choices you can make, and then realize it's a very slow process. For most of us, it's a slow process.
Un tad mēs turpinām atmosties konkrētajam brīdim un saprotam, ka mēs varam rīkoties savu labāko nodomu vadīt, bet gala rezultātā tas process ir pakāpenisks un palēns.
So those are just some personal examples of the kind of work you do. And the path is, it's quite, you know, we all have different conditioning, different family condition, different gender conditioning, age conditioning and so on. So you have to be quite, I think, quite creative in understanding yourself.
Personīgi piemēra, vai mēs varētu saprast to ceļu, kur mēs cenšamies iet un vai tiktu galā ar tām pieredzēm, kas mums parādās, reizē mums ir jābūt arī radošiem.
Okay, leave that for your reflection tonight.
Tad, šajā vietā es ļaušu jums pārdomāt, teiktu.
Let's finish with the chanting then.
Un noslēgsim šo vakaru ar dziedājumu.
Do we?